Fifth Avenue. This is TheBillPod.com. The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from New York City, just north of Philadelphia. Today is Thursday, the 10th of August, 2017. On this date, in 612 BC, Nineveh is destroyed and the king of Syria is killed. 70 CE, the second temple in Jerusalem is burned by the Romans under Titus. 610 CE, Muhammad begins to receive the Quran, indication. 1831, former slave Nat Turner leads an anti-slavery uprising. 1893, Rudolf Diesel's model internal combustion engine, without spark plugs, runs on its own power for the first time. And 1934, Babe Ruth announces his final season as a full-time baseball player. I'm your host, Mark Mullen, the podcast written by Robin Bortner. If you'd like to add, make any comments, ask a question, or anything else, go to tfieldpod.com or send us an email at tfieldpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. The 8th of August, Vladimir Putin made headlines by making an official visit to Abkhazia to meet with the region's president, Raul Khajimba. During the visit, Putin characterized the relationship between Abkhazia and Russia as very, very special and guaranteed the region's security and independence. He also promised the equivalent of $100 million in investment and signed an agreement outlined this March, which would provide health care to Abkhazians with Russian citizenship. In total, about 189,000 people. The Abkhazian Health Ministry will continue to allocate about $1.5 million U.S. dollars for treatment outside of Abkhazia for those without Russian citizenship. The overall hope of both Putin and Khajimba is presumably the reduction in the amount of trips Abkhazians make to Georgia, where medical care has been offered free of charge. This is not Putin's first visit to Abkhazia. He's come twice before, once in 2009 and once in 2013. There's much discussion regarding the timing of Putin's visit, as it follows last week's NATO-affirming visit by U.S. Vice President Pence and the ninth anniversary of the 2008 war. In its statement, the Georgian Ministry of Foreign Affairs strongly condemned the visit of Putin to Abkhazia, accusing the Kremlin of legitimizing oppression, ethnic cleansing, and violent change of borders through military aggression. Duh! It also said that Putin's visit violated international law and the fundamental norms for states. Both a NATO spokesman and the EU delegation to Georgia made similar points, calling the visit harmful to the peace process. Finally, the U.S. State Department weighed in and said Putin's visit was inappropriate and inconsistent with the principles underlying the Geneva international discussions, and Russia should withdraw to the 2008 ceasefire line. Anniversary of the war sparked a lot of solidarity with Georgia against Russia. The foreign ministries of Lithuania, Latvia, Poland, and Ukraine all released statements criticizing Russia for not fulfilling the ceasefire agreement and for continuing to militarize the borders. The Ukrainian statement was strongest. It said that Russia had gotten away with invading both Georgia and Russia, and it was time to stop their aggression. The Abkhazian government responded to this criticism on the 10th of August, saying that the meeting with Putin was peaceful in nature and the criticism was hypocritical, as they found Pence's visit to NATO's military exercises to be equally provocative. Also, in memory of the war, several hundred Georgians holding up flags formed a human chain along the main road near the South Ossetian border, which was closed for 4 days. This story of the protesters holding hands and standing in silence was picked up by the BBC. The organizers said that they were protesting the recent borderization activities and that the war was not over due to Russian occupation. Also, to commemorate the war, the prime minister, president, and other top officials attended a ceremony at the Mukhtar Verdi Brothers Cemetery. There, Kvitikashvili said that he hoped Georgia would one day become a shared home of Abkhazians, Ossetians, and Georgians within the European community. President Georgi Margvelashvili stated this week that he wants the United States to appoint a special representative for Georgia. He reportedly broached the subject in last week's meeting with Mike Pence, who was receptive to the idea. Margvelashvili said such a representative will allow Georgia to work more closely with the U.S. on many fronts. Victor Dolidze, the state minister for European Euro-Atlantic Integration, was cautious about the agreement, but did not entirely dismiss it, and the opposition parliamentarians have been supportive. The United States already has a special representative to Ukraine who works on strategic initiatives against Russia. If such an appointment occurs, the position would likely be modeled on the Ukrainian version. The Auditor General's term ended on the 25th of July, and under current rules, his replacement will be chosen by Parliament. Well, Snabe is considering nominating a party member for the position, which has attracted criticism of many civic organizations. The hardest working NGO in the caucus is Transparency International. Georgia said that it is critical for the government to demonstrate the political will needed to enact an independent auditor general, to elect an independent auditor general so that he or she can call out government corruption. The position has been impartial since 2012, and Transparency International says that making the office political again would be serious backsliding. To justify their claim, Transparency International refers to the June incident between Lasha Tordia, the current Auditor General, and Otar Patskharaladze, the former General Prosecutor. According to Tordia, the former General Prosecutor and his security staff physically assaulted him, and so far the incident has not been fully investigated. This attack suggests that the Georgian prosecutor might have something to hide, something which a party-affiliated auditor might overlook. Transparency International is also accusing Tbilisi City Council of abusing power when it dismissed Gheorghe Ebanoidze. Tbilisi City Court Criminal Collegium Chair on the 24th of July. The NGO believes the decision to be illegal due to the manner in which it was done. Moreover, they allege that the dismissal was made to silence his criticism. The recent incident is perceived... is preceded by a similar controversial dismissal of a critical chair in 2016. Transparency International believes that this earlier dismissal significantly damaged the independence of individual judges and contributes to the overall allegations that the judiciary arm of the government is not as independent as it should be. A Georgian soldier was killed during peacekeeping operations in Afghanistan. Three other Georgians were injured in the attack but are recovering. His body was brought back to Tbilisi Airport on a special U.S. Air Force flight, where he and his family were given a formal state reception ceremony attended by military, government, diplomatic personnel, including the Prime Minister, Kvitakashvili, and U.S. Ambassador Kelly. The soldier, Junior Sergeant Dinari Bebiashvili, had been serving in Afghanistan since 2010. He's the 32nd Georgian killed as part of the peacekeeping mission. In regards to NATO, U.S. Army Chief of Staff Mike Milley is paying a two-day working visit to Georgia to participate in the Noble Partnership exercise. He'll meet with NATO forces and Georgia's military commanders. Drug regulation reform is making headlines again after a 22-year-old girl died from a drug overdose at GemFest. She passed away at Zugdidi Hospital 8 hours after being admitted with signs of a bad reaction to the psychoactive drug GHB. 22 other individuals have been hospitalized due to similar symptoms this week, despite the strict security in place. However, with 20,000 attendees every day, some drugs inevitably slip in. The Ministry of Internal Affairs did report that it has arrested 5 people for drug-related crimes at the festival and seized 38 ecstasy pills and 6,500 grams of MDMA. It also said that they had representatives and police all along the entrances to the festival and other coastlines. The drug-related incident has caused white noise. The organization pushing for greater legalization to call for an extraordinary parliamentary session to reform drug laws. They argue that the government's strict drug laws mean that drug users do not know what substances they are taking and are unable to verify them. Decriminalization, they claim, in tandem with proper treatment, monitoring of users, and education will solve Georgia's drug problem better than harsh sentencing laws. The opposition non-parliamentary Republican Party went further, accusing government officials of using drug incidents to paint drug users as dangerous criminals, so the drug reform will not be successful in the parliamentary debates in the upcoming autumn session. They accused the ruling party of planting drugs on opponents and then using harsh laws to imprison them. Dato Usubashvili, parliamentary chairman between 2012 and 16 and former Republican Party leader, announced a mayoral candidate of his new political party called the Development Movement. The candidate is Tengo Shergelashvili, who served as deputy minister for regional development and infrastructure. While in office, he was a proponent for self-government reform, spoke about Tbilisi's economic, transport, and environmental problems. The new centrist party has high hopes for his mayoral election and has unveiled its 27-member electoral team to increase awareness. Also in mayoral elections, 4 non-parliamentary parties announced an alliance in order to defeat the Georgian Dream candidate. The new partners are New Georgia, European Democrats, Civil Alliance for Freedom, and New Unity for Georgia. Currently, they are working towards agreeing on a candidate and a platform. UNM and its new splinter party, European Georgia, have also discussed an alliance, but only if the second round of voting pits their candidates against Utsneba. On the Black Sea, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs reports an increase in rescues and cautions holiday goers to be more careful. 176 people were pulled from the sea this July by emergency management agency, 106 Georgians and 70 foreigners. Most of these rescued occurred in the resort town of Ureki, which has a more dangerous coastline than other locations. Barriers and prohibitions signs are installed in the coastal zone, but many visitors ignore them. This week, the fire epidemic affected Ntatsminda Mountain in the forest between the Ferris Wheel and Vake. It broke out late on the 8th of August, damaged 2 hectares of forest. The cause is not yet known, but authorities investigating the possibility say it was started due to negligence. 70 firefighters, 11 fire engines, and local volunteers fought the wildfire for 2 hours. 5 fire engines and 30 firefighters patrolled throughout the night to prevent the fire from restarting. The Environmental Supervision Department suspended an illegal fishing operation on the Tukvadi River. The fishermen were using electric shock appliances to net fish, a practice which is illegal. The case will be sent to court. Brands Zara, Mango, Bershka, and Massimo Dutti announced that they will begin the production of jeans in the town of Ureki in Guria. They will open a new clothing factory by 2018, which will employ around 300 people. It's largely funded by the Turkish company Baykaniar, which will invest 2 million lari. Also in investment and infrastructure, Zurab Pataradze, head of Ajada's autonomous government, officiated the laying of the foundation of several new hotels in Goderzi, the recently developed ski resort. The 4 hotels combined to add just under 300 rooms and will employ over 100 locals. They are due to be completed between 2019 and 20. A total new investment in Goderzi is valued at $8 million. The expansion in hotels in places like Goderzi and Gudauri, reported on earlier this month, is warranted by an increase in tourists. The Georgian Civil Aviation Agency released their latest figures for airport traffic so far in 2017. It's up 48% year-on-year, especially increasing is Kutaisi, up 86% year-on-year, likely due to the rise in discount flights and the airports it served, as well as Mesia, which is up 122%. We reported that the Georgian National Wine Agency signed an agreement with importer Sapedavi Wine Agency, which supports Georgian wine exports to the Netherlands. As a result of this agreement, Amsterdam hosted a Georgian wine tasting last week with 12 wineries participating. On the heels of the tasting, a group of Dutch wine professionals, including importers, writers, and sommeliers, announced a trip to Georgia this September to learn more about winemaking here. The Dutch-Georgian collaboration follows another optimistic report from the Georgian National Wine Agency. Total exports January to July this year are up 60% over the same period last year. Good news for American listeners in the D.C. area around the Beltway. A Georgian restaurant is opening up in D.C. The Washington Post reports it will be called Supra and serve classic dishes like khachapuri, khingali, and chakapuli, along with Georgian wines and beers. The owners are Laura and Jonathan Nelms, American with a history of work and study in the former Soviet Union. The chef, Malchaz Maisashvili, is Georgian who used to cook for the Georgian embassy as well as New York Georgian restaurants. Parliamentary news, the Law and Labor Safety Committee held its 4th meeting. It's currently reviewing the application for labor safety laws in Georgia in light of the high number of reported violations and possibly response to protesters for increasing employment safety. Up for review is the effectiveness of current penalties and sanctions. Meme this week comes from Tabula.ge. They published a stunning series of photographs of the Ntatsminda firefighting efforts. The shots in high definition, full of smoke and haze against a background of forest, lights, Ferris wheel, and TV tower, as well as the full moon. Stuff to read. Our former podcast writer Joe Larson wrote an article for Eurasianet analyzing the pending constitutional reforms. His assessment is that the contradictory platforms in the draft constitutional amendments reflect Utsneba's lack of ideological center. Each different plank reflects the different goals of its wide and ununified coalition. His take is that the Constitution is an attempt to preserve the left and right wings of the coalition, win elections, and stay in power, broad at the cost of potentially derailing Georgia's democratic progress. Washington Post publishes an opinion piece written by Misha. After praising his own political career in Georgia, he rails against Poroshenko for backstabbing and violating international law and being a part of the very corruption problem Misha was hired to fix. Additionally, he references his feud with Ivanishvili, restating accusations that Ivanishvili fabricated the facts of his case due to his ties with Russia. He ends by vowing to continue mobilizing his support to fight corruption in Ukraine. In July, the Jamestown Foundation, an old anti-Soviet international policy think tank, issued an interesting analysis of the potential road Russia is working to build between through Dagestan and Georgia to Yerevan. Periodic work on the Russia side of the road has been reported over the last couple of years, although no deal has been finalized. On balance, the author is cautious about the road, suggesting that the increased trade might not be worth the ensuing encirclement by and dependency on Russia. All this stuff will be posted in the forum. This week's dive bar number is 16. That's the number of candidates competing in this year's Junior Eurovision Song Contest. Georgia's hosting it as it won the contest held last year in Malta. Georgia's public broadcaster, GPB, will host the event at the modern 4,000-seat Olympic Palace, which was considered more suitable than the previously announced Sports Palace for its numerous facilities for delegations, media, and fans. Tbilisi Airport's reporting trouble with their electronic passenger registration system, causing longer check-in times. They say other airports using the same system are experiencing similar trouble. Anyone flying out of Tbilisi in the next few days should allow some extra time. Tbilisi Photo Festival will be held between the 13th and 20th of September at venues throughout the city. The highlight is the Night of Photography, which usually sees at least 10,000 attending. The event was launched in 2010 as a Caucasian version of the Arles Photo Festival, La Nuit de Annie. Also in art, Tbilisi's Museum of Fine Arts will display work by Mexican painter Roger Van Guten. The exhibition of the painter's work is designed to mark 25 years of diplomatic relations between Georgia and Mexico and will run until the 20th of September. Annual One Caucasus Music Festival will take place in Marnauli, Georgia, between the 24th and 27th of August. This year's festival will host participants from more than 15 countries. The goal of the festival is to increase cooperation and understanding in the region. Marnauli was chosen as it is near the border of Armenia and Azerbaijan and is known for its long, peaceful cohabitation. This is a very cool music festival, so if anybody's floating around, definitely go to this. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is spielpod@gmail.com or post the forum on our website, www.spielpod.com. We'll finish with a bunch of thieving scousers from Liverpool, 1984. This is Dead or Alive with Spin Me Right Round.